Welcome to A Canadian Investing in the U.S., a podcast and YouTube channel focused on Canadians buying real estate with host Glenn Sutherland.
Welcome to a new episode of Canadian Investing in the U.S. This week, my guest is Rory Da Silva. Rory, you want to start off with giving everybody a bit of an intro to yourself?
Yeah. Hey, Glenn. Thanks for having me on. So I appreciate the time. Yes, I was born and raised in Jamaica, got a degree in actuarial science, just a fancy way of saying math. Started out working in finance and then migrated to the U.S. in 2015. Bounced around a few cities, worked in insurance for a while, then got the opportunity to work in real estate back in 2018 while I was moving to Canada. So I spent some time in Canada working in the real estate space, investment space. They were investing in the U.S., the company.
Yep.
And that allowed me to learn real estate investing in the U.S., right? Fix and flips, multifamily investing, so forth. And then eventually moved back over to the U.S. side, did some more real estate investing, also did some investing on the side on a personal note, and eventually found my way back home to Jamaica. So it's been a journey, but it's been pretty exciting. Lots of challenges, but lots of rewards as well.
Yeah. And with a journey like that, I feel like you need to do all those steps. If you would have stayed in Jamaica, you probably, there's growth with every move, and there's, you know, challenges. And a lot of times I've met you and I've seen your presentations, I don't know, several times. And people don't listen or don't know Rory. He is a smart guy. He's very detailed. And
you
pick that up with when you hear him. So I'm sure that there's a lot of lessons that you've learned through this. So you went around, you did the U.S., did Canada. Like I said, I met you at some masterminds and events throughout the U.S. Now you're back in Jamaica. What is it you're working on? What is Jamvest?
Yeah, so Jamvest is my brainchild, I guess. It was a very passionate thing that came to me where, you know, I consider myself, you know, very fortunate to grow up the way I did, right? My parents were able to provide private schooling, didn't have to take on university debt, you know, all the things you would expect, right, to be off on a good track. But when I started working, I had the opportunity to migrate, and I still chose to migrate, even though things were going well here locally. So over the years, it's kind of forced me to think a bit deeper. Jamaica is ranked number two in the world, suffering from brain drain, which is just basically migration, right? People who are migrating to other countries, the educated population migrating to other countries to put their skills to use overseas. So it's a big issue, causes, you know, countries to slow down in their development because, again, the skilled labor is now overseas. So I always wanted to find a way to move back home, help to, you know, mitigate that type of outward migration, and also provide more opportunities for employment. So I thought real estate was a really good space to do that, because now there's lots of, you know, business outsourcing to like the Philippines.
Yep.
Now, Jamaica, we have English as our first language. We're actually one of the largest English-speaking countries in the Western Hemisphere. Not many people know that, right? Oh. So I saw the opportunity to have this untapped labor force, right, come in to provide these types of services that real estate investors do need, cold calling, deal underwriting, things like that. So that started the vision. Having moved back now, opened the office in Kingston, started staffing and going through the process. I was reconnecting with lots of colleagues and friends. And when I said real estate investing, everyone thinks I'm selling houses, like I'm a real estate agent. So
yeah.
There was also the lack of education about real estate investing on a whole. So that's something I've identified and I'm trying to help address by starting to do a more educational component to Jamvest, right? So being able to put content out on social media. I've been speaking more publicly, you know, setting up some stuff for my old university and just, you know, sharing the information to help empower people here in Jamaica to make incomes, because affordability is a big issue here. You know, prices in Jamaica, people think it's a third world country and it's cheap. Or real estate is priced in the U.S. for the most part. and they're very competitive. Like, you know, we met in Cape Coral, and I would say on a price per square foot, where Kingston is higher than Cape Coral, which is crazy to me. Yeah, it's pretty bad. So yeah, people need all the streams of income to help survive and, you know, get more affordable housing and stuff. So yeah.
So what is it you're doing down there? Like, are you renovating stuff? You new development? What's the game plan?
Yeah. So the core function right now, we're doing lots of wholesaling, right? So we're doing residential wholesaling. Properties are still overseas in Florida. Yeah. So we're going out, you know, finding leads, whether it's through outbound or inbound marketing. The leads come in, we nurture them, negotiate, get the contracts, and then either wholesale them to another investor or wholesale it to another entity that I'm a part owner of, which is a construction company, so we can do the flips ourselves. So that's the core focus right now. Heavy emphasis right now on the training systems, just getting things structured the way they need to be. We just had our first closing a week ago, so that went well. And then now we're seeing the contracts start to come in a bit more frequently. So the momentum's picking up, but getting started was the the most, you know, tons of barriers, but it's good.
So if you're wholesaling in Jamaica, like, are you selling to other Jamaicans or is it Americans or Canadians? Who's the avatar for the buyer of this?
Yeah, so the buyers are all overseas in the US. So we're locking up deals in Florida and then going out, finding the buyers also in Florida and just matchmaking for now. So yeah, everything is still in South Florida, or key market or main markets, Port St. Lucie, right? So that's our main city and surrounding areas is where we're kind of focusing.
Oh, so you're wholesaling in the US as well?
Yes, correct.
I was everything thinking it was right in Jamaica for whatever
reason. Oh, no. So I'm looking into some ideas about doing investments here locally, but one of the biggest challenges, and this is something, you know, even Canadians can relate to, is just the differences in the real estate process in Canada or Jamaica versus the US, right? So the US, I've found, is very efficient and streamlined. You can get things done a lot quicker. Here in Jamaica, one of the biggest hurdles is the time it takes to actually purchase a property. So if you're using financing, that can take like 6 months, right? Yeah. It slows down the transactions then. So I'm still working on some ideas as to how we could do some local projects, but for now, everything's still overseas in Florida.
That's interesting. So you're running a whole remote business, kind of like me. Yeah. I'm going from Canada and the US. You're going from Jamaica into.
Yeah.
So what does that look like? Do you have virtual assistants, or is someone doing like cold calling? Who are the members on this team?
Yeah. So our core team in office, so I have two staff members, Nishan and Kim. Nishan's more on the admin side. Kim is on acquisitions.
Yeah.
Then we also have partners that we work with overseas in the market. So if it's like boots on the ground to go out, take pictures, inspections, you know, subcontractors who need to provide pricing for the flips, work a lot with agents. So that's one of our main channels for finding deals.
Yeah.
So we've scaled back. We're doing some cold calling at first, but we scaled back on that just based on the results that we're seeing and other investors that we've heard from as well. So we're doing lots more inbound marketing as well as working with agents to help get deals that way.
That's interesting, because whenever you hear wholesaling, you usually don't hear a lot about working with realtors. Is it that you're helping them with like expired listings or something like that? Or how does a realtor play into this?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it's a space that's overlooked by many wholesalers. Right? They always think it's the wholesalers versus the agents, right? Like it's the competition. But
yeah.
The way that we approach it from a different angle, where it's more like teamwork, right? Because I have a license. I'm a licensed realtor in Florida. So, you know, I think what happens is the introduction or how the communication starts gets off on the wrong foot many times. You know, wholesalers might not be upfront or they might be a bit deceptive. So our approach is just to say, hey, we're investors, right? We do fix and flips and new construction. However, we also have a network of investors as well who might be open to purchasing some of the properties that we pass on. So I usually lead with building the relationship with the agent first and then figure out, all right, what's going on with the listing specifically, right? Is it a situation where the seller's okay waiting 6 months to get the right offer, or are they in a bind? Do they need to sell? If it's something where there's no motivation, then for me, I'm thinking, you know, retail is always going to get you the best price, so we're not the right fit. Well, let's just keep in touch if you do come across any ugly properties or things that might be giving you a hard time, right? So it comes down to the relationship. I don't approach it from the standpoint that this listing, this deal needs to get done. I'm more interested in who is listing these types of properties and building that relationship with the agent so that they can, you know, give us repeat business.
Okay. And then, so if there is fees or money that has to be paid to the realtor, does that just get, who pays it?
Yeah, no, it's a good question.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I just wanted to let you know that I've created a new coaching program. I believe the new coaching program has way more value than any of the programs that have even existed in the past. What we've done is pre-recorded all the lessons so that you can work through it at your own pace, which is pretty cool. And then we're going to meet up on a regular basis to answer the questions, do deal analysis, and actually spend our time together working on things instead of spending our time learning things. I think this will make a seamless transition to buying in the United States and will help you solve a lot of your problems. If this is of interest to you, go to glennsutherland.com/coaching. I hope to help you guys invest in the United States, and I hope we provide as much value as possible. Back to the podcast.
So normally what happens, the listing agent will be on the seller side. I can represent myself as a buyer's agent.
Yep.
But if the spread is just a bit too tight, I'm willing to waive my commission because we're still making revenue on the assignment fee.
Yeah.
And then from there, we can proceed accordingly. Typically, or end buyers, they're covering closing costs like any stamp fees, transfer taxes, things like that. It's usually covered on their part. But in some situations, right, like we've also offered the listing agent to, you know, credit the commission back to the seller or commission the buyer's commission back to the seller so they walk away with a bit more. And also, if it's off market or if it's something an agent's working on, we offer them like some incentive to have them also get rewarded twice on the commission side or finder's fee or something along those lines. So the goal is to make sure that they're taken care of.
Yeah.
Because that's what incentivizes them to kind of come back and say, hey, let's work with these guys.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. It's a lot easier to use the same people than have to keep finding new ones.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
And so when you're doing this and you're working with this, because you just, like, I just caught some verbiage in there and you said you were the buyer. So do you have to need, are you required to double close these then in order to assign them?
No. So we're allowed to have assignment fees. And in the contract, the FAR bar, the Florida State approved purchase agreement, there's a section that specifically speaks to assignability. And we're upfront. We tell them, hey, we need the option to assign. We haven't had any pushback. In some cases, some agents, they just got burnt in the past by wholesalers and they say, hey, they don't want any assignees. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. But this is our process. And I mean, if it's a really good deal, then we can double close. So the title company we work with, they're okay with doing double closes as well. So that's just one option. But from a personal standpoint, I usually try to just stick to agents who are okay with wholesalers, okay with investors, just so that there are like no last minute hiccups, you know, in the closing. So, yeah.
Maybe we should bring that. I just thought of this as you were saying it. I'm like, maybe we should define for people listening what double closing is. So people are like, what are they talking about? So maybe just define double closing just to
be understand. No, good question. Yeah, thanks for that, Glenn. So basically double close would be, it's two transactions that were separated. So in a traditional wholesaling method, you'd have your A to B contract where I agree to purchase a property from a seller. And then within that contract, there's a right to assign. So I go along, find an end buyer. I assign my rights to the contract to that end buyer, and then they close. Now, the difference with a double close is the assignment might not be within that purchase agreement, so the A to B transaction. So I'm saying, hey, Glenn, I'm going to purchase your property for $100,000, you know, at the end of May. Now, I still go find a buyer. The buyer agrees that, hey, they'll purchase it for $120,000. Now, when closing day comes, instead of me assigning the contract to the end buyer, I'll actually close with you, Glenn, and then turn around the same day and sell it to my end buyer. So usually you need a few things. So either you're paying cash to close the transaction yourself, and then you get taken out on the back end. Or you can use like gap or transactional funding where there's a lender. They'll provide that liquidity just for like the day or two. And then you pay them off when the end buyer actually purchases it back from you.
Yeah, that's a good explanation. So you're doing this in Florida, and you're doing it in a different market than where you were living before. Why did you pick that city? What was the appeal to it?
Yeah, so it's a combination of a few things. My partner's on a construction company. They're also Jamaican, and they were building in Port St. Lucie when we just met. Did a big of a deeper dive into Port St. Lucie, started tracking trends and the data, and it's a very rapidly appreciated market. So I pull MLS data every month and kind of do my own internal analysis. And last month, Port St. Lucie actually surpassed Miami in number of sales, residential sales. So it's a very rapidly growing market. It's affordable relative to South Florida. So like tons of people are moving up from Broward, Palm Beach County, up to Port St. Lucie. So we're seeing lots of growth, lots of development. So that was kind of what everything aligned. We had the right team in place, good, strong market demographics, and we're like, all right, cool, let's take a deeper look at this one.
Okay. And you just mentioned that you had like some contacts that were contractors. Like, so whenever you're assigning these, are you kind of packaging in the whole thing up like to that with a renovation, or is that sort of like if you're doing the project yourself, or what how does that all look?
Yeah, so we've been discussing what that might look like. So the company, the partners, Hummingbird Construction. So we've been looking into that type of model, more of a turnkey service, but being partners in the deal, right? So not just a contractor, just coming by. They're all interested in real estate investing. So not only just doing the work per se, but also figuring out ways to get involved, on the investment side. So we're looking into a few models, whether it might be equity in the deal for, renovations at cost, right? That's one option. And or just a flat fee where we're just doing the GC work. So playing around with a few ideas, lots of interest from out of state, right? Investors who need, boots on the ground, reliable boots on the ground. So as soon as that's kind of wrapped up and packaged appropriately, I think it would be a good product as well.
That's great. That is what like well, because I have the course and everything. A lot of people are coming to me and they're looking for contacts. They're looking and even they like the idea of like a turnkey that's not a turnkey, where they
Yeah.
they can buy something that's rough or need some an update or whatever, and it's sort of there's a way that they can see how this will get completed without having to set their own teams, because a lot of times it's you're talking about out of state or out of country, and it's just you start to stack too many things, and it gets mentally that they get too many questions that they just walk away instead of pulling through and finishing the whole thing off, because they're like, I want to do it, but I don't know if I know this. I don't know if I know this. I don't know if I know this.
And I think it helps as well being involved on the acquisition side and also the construction. So we can kind of play around with the numbers where, we can maybe cut back on the assignment fee and then make it up on the back end after we complete the project. This is a partnership and we split the proceeds. So it gives the out-of-state investor a few different options as to see what works best for them. Because maybe they just need us to find the deals, right? They have their own team. Or maybe they find their own deals, but they need the construction side. So we're pretty early in the process right now, in terms of figuring out that turnkey model, but it's something that we're trying to get done.
And I know kind of changing gears over there a little bit, but at the start you said something about like teaching people and educating them, and in all honesty, when we first mentioned that, I was thinking we were talking about teaching them and educating them about the differences and how it work in Jamaica. But I've seen you on TikTok. Like, what kind of things do you need to educate people on in order to work with you or to work with your company to understand how this all works? Sorry, like what kind of things are you talking about?
Yeah, so I think the first thing is lots of Jamaicans, they think as a Jamaican, you're not allowed to own real estate in the US, right? Like you have to be a citizen or a permanent resident of the US to own property. So that was the first, I guess, misconception or myth I was trying to, change. And once that barrier is down, then they start thinking about costs. Like I need to come up with, tens, hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy a property, and then now introducing strategies like wholesaling or rental arbitrage, and just awareness that there are ways to get into real estate investing that doesn't require a significant amount of capital up front. But the goal is really creating the community where they have the skills and the knowledge, and now they're free to go out and either engage investors overseas directly and offer these services, or partner with people overseas to help get their own deal, right? So someone might have the funds, they have the deal, they can network there. And another component of that educational piece is the Jamaican diaspora. So there's a ton of Jamaicans living in the US in various states. Most are doing well. Like, we're a very hardworking set of people. So if those individuals living in the US, they might have the financial resources to purchase a property and do these projects, they can then connect with the local talent here in Jamaica after they've been trained accordingly and collaborate in that way as well. So yeah, that's another avenue. But it all starts with getting the education done as soon as possible here.
Yep. No, and you, the more, because that's how I do as well. And the more you tell, they see, you know, that it works and they understand how it works, the more open they are to the idea. And it just, like you said, it just starts with education. Is there anything else I should have asked you about, like, about this, or what anything, an angle you were thinking of going that I didn't kind of take this down?
No, trust me, Glenn. I think we could go on for hours, in all honesty, but I think it's just very exciting, right? Like, it's funny, I'm seeing lots of similarities. So when Canadians are looking to invest in the US, and then Jamaicans are looking, Canadians are a bit more familiar with real estate investing because you might have those investing in Canada. But in Jamaica, it's like completely different, where lots of people think real estate investing is like building high rises, right? So explaining just basics about like fix and flips, or, you know, single family rentals, buy and hold, things like that. And they're doing it, but they just don't know it's an actual strategy that can be systematized and, you know, implemented. So lots of work to get done, but it's been pretty fun. It's been pretty fun.
That's awesome. I love to hear these stories and your company growing and everything. So if people wanted to, like, you know, find your company, or, you know, get on a list to see what's going on, like, everybody loves Florida. Like, how do they find you? Where do they go to get some information on this, or where can they follow you?
Yeah, I would say I'm trying to do a better job with social media. So I'd say Instagram. So at Jamvestor, JAMVESTOR. I've been making a more conscious effort to, you know, produce more educational content, help to bring the awareness and stuff. So I'm very responsive there. So anyone who wants to reach out and connect, always check in my inbox. So just let me know.
Yeah. And he's on TikTok, because I do follow Roy.
I know. Listen, I don't have anything to do with that one. I would say this is where the team comes in. You know, Nishan and Eads, they've been doing a great job with the TikTok account. I have no clue how to operate that thing. So just like, you guys just tell me what to say and what to do, and you take care of the rest. So that's been pretty fun too.
Yeah, so there is lots of videos out there with Rory explaining stuff and talking about stuff. And so you can find him probably on most of these channels, whatever your special sauce is, whatever you like to watch this stuff on. Anyway, Rory, like always, glad to have you on the show. Glad to catch up on it with you and have a conversation. Wish you some success. And I hope a whole bunch of Canadians reach out just to see where there are some good priced properties in Florida. And who knows, maybe you'll have something set up where they could all be a one-stop shop, and it could be a great win-win for Canadians investing down there and yourself.
Yeah, and as always, you know, if anyone needs any feedback, services, anything, I'm always looking for ways to help. So just shoot me a DM, reach out, I'll be help, hop on a call, and just, yeah, see anything that I can do to help.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Rory.
All right, cool. Thanks, Ben.
That was a nice video. Bye.